a scripture in Daniel chapter 2. You can go to Ecclesiastes, the first chapter, and hold that if you want to, or you can look on the screen for this one. But Daniel, whenever it came that time in his life to make a stand for the Lord, he did it, and he did it strong, and he did it hard, and he made a proclamation. And he said this about God in verse 20 and 21, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. Can you say that this morning? Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons. And we talked about that last week. But we talked about the seasons, but he changes the times too. He changes, and that actually means the settings, the events in our lives, the goings on of our lives. He changes those things. As we trust in Him, He's able to come and change it. That's why it can look one way and end up another in Him. That's why the scripture is true. What the enemy meant for evil, God meant for good. But as children of God, we're going to have to walk a couple steps of those evil places. Not indulging in evil. The shadow of the enemy being there. Trying to scare us. Trying to mess with us. Trying to dishearten us. Trying to get the eyes of the believer off of our only refuge. Only refuge. The rocks aren't a safe place to hide. If a storm was coming over and there were rocks and there was a cave, wouldn't we certainly run to that? But I went to this place in it's called Luray Caverns. And Luray Caverns, has anybody ever been there up in Virginia? It's beautiful. It's incredible. But there's a little place down there. The way they found, or when they found Luray Caverns, they found the body of a little Indian child down in there. That however many years it was before, all of a sudden that child was fell through a hole in the ground and ended up, and hopefully that child died from the fall, because I would not want to think that that child was down there, you know, yelling for life or anything. I'd hope that the child died from the fall. You understand what I'm saying? But the rocks aren't always a safe place either. So we can trick ourselves and think that there's safety here or there's safety there is what I'm saying. But there's truly only safety here. Even in the wide open field, if we have Him, we're safe. And our spirits are always safe with Him. He changes the times and the seasons. And I just want to say this. I entitled a message. As a pastor, I have to preach what God gives me. Believe me, there are times when I would like to preach something that I know will make you shout. I know that there are times when I could preach certain things that would really encourage you, and I always want to take the opportunity to encourage you regardless of what I have to preach to you. But today is truly a message of hope, but we're going to deal for a couple of chapters with the faults of the wisest man that ever lived. And he was also the richest man that ever lived. And he was also the most influential man that ever lived. He was the king of the Israelites. His name was Solomon. And he wrote this book, Ecclesiastes. So when you're dealing with people that are smarter than you, and I've learned this because this happens to me all the time. I'm constantly running into people that are smarter than me. And I heard from a wise man that I was sitting under. He said this to me one time. He said, when you go into a meeting, you want to be the dumbest person in the room. And I thought, that's always accomplished by me. Next point. But what happens when you come in contact with wisdom? It will make your brain grab a new curl, grab a new twist if you'll let it. And it may actually be uncomfortable. So there might be some things that I say that are a little uncomfortable. Because I can't just pick out the ones that make you shout and wave the hanky, can I? I got to also bring out the ones that make you cry. You know, I was going to use this as a... And I also might need to bring out the ones that are going to make you sweat. Just a little bit, okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to read down to verse 14. The words of the preacher, and that's what Solomon calls himself right here. The words of the preacher, in other words, I, Solomon, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Well, you might be looking at your wife saying, I knew we should have gone and had brunch this morning because this ain't going to be a good one. It's all vanity. But listen to the end of this. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes. But the earth abides forever. So the earth stays the same, but the generations change. The sun also rises and the sun goes down. None of that has changed. And hastens to the place where it arose. That word hastens actually means like a deer panting. It's like the day cannot wait. Once it starts, it cannot wait to conclude. That's the way he described it. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. I'll just stop and say this. There's some things I don't understand about weather forecasts. I would never want to be a weather forecaster in this area because it seems like it's a very difficult thing to do. But when it comes to the wind, they get that. I don't know how they figured that out, but they do. All week long, I saw that it was going to be windy Saturday afternoon. My little phone had a little icon that showed the wind blowing. It's going to hit Saturday in the afternoon. Guess what? They were right. It was a windy afternoon. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea. Listen to this. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. That one, if you've never thought about it, will make your brain bend. Like Catawba River, there you go. Where'd you come from, Catawba? And where are you going? And why aren't you full yet, ocean? Think about it. Yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. I can see it, and I can hear it, yet I will still question it. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Are y'all depressed yet? I feel like I need a coffee just to read the rest of it. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. And I just got through saying, if hopelessness feels like it's setting in, I should have said, just hang on a few minutes and I'll make you feel even more hopeless. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven, this burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed, all is vanity and grasping for the wind. We're going to do an exercise right here. You ready? Everybody grab some wind. Did you get it? Did anybody get it? Try it again. One more time. Some of y'all too cool to try it, but it's all right. There are about six of us out here that we ain't scared. If you get it, grab it and put it in the headlock, and I'll be over there in a second to inspect it. Chapter 2, we're going to skip down a few verses, beginning with verse 1. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. That word mirth, just say gladness. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, but surely this was also vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched my heart, how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under the sun all the days of their lives. I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants and had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold in the special treasures of kings and of the provinces. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. Does anybody else want to outdo Solomon yet? Okay, you want to try it again? I'll give you another. Switch hands. Maybe you were left-handed and just thought you were right-handed. Did anybody grab it? It's grasping at the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. What can the man do who succeeds the king? Only what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly, as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than the fool forever. Since all that now is will be forgotten. Since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die as the fool? Therefore, I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. You want to try it with both hands? It doesn't matter. It's not going to work. This is the wisest man in the earth. To this point, at least, I don't know if he was ever surpassed by anybody. And if he does, like he said, I don't know their name. Right? There have been plenty of wonderful people, and there have been plenty that made their mark on this earth, yet I don't know their name. And the few that history was kind to, and the few that someone wrote kindly about them, I don't know their name. I did the best I could in history. The dates messed me up. If I remembered the events, I couldn't get the date right. So it was not great enough for me to put two things together into one, and it grasped into my brain. It's It's just out there. It's just information. I can say this. They lived a life. They did something. But like Solomon said, it's all happened before, and it'll happen again. He is explaining life to us, and it's a big thing to swallow. And it makes my stomach hurt just a little bit to think about it. So on to verse chapter 3. I talked about chapter 3 all the way down to verse 8. So I'm going to pick it up in verse 9. Last Sunday we talked about it down to verse 8. So I'm going to pick it up in verse 9, chapter 3. What profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. See, it's starting to look up. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. That's why we trust God. That's why we trust God. Because there will be things that God allows you will not understand. That's where trust is established, or it was just a thought. Do you understand what I'm saying there? I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it that men should fear before him. That which is has already been, and what is to be has already been, and God requires an account of what is past. God seeks what is pursued. That's the interpretation of that. That like God requires an account of what is past. God seeks what is pursued. What he's saying right here, at the end of the day, there is a God who way back, remember last week we said when he said, let there be light, he set the seasons in order. We talked about that last week. But when he gave life and breathed life into man, he set some things in order that will occur over and over and over. And it won't be halted from one generation to the next. What this generation went through, the next generation will go through. And what this generation goes through, the next generation will go through. And we can start calling it a boomer or a buster, or an X, or a Y, or a Z. We can call the generation anything that we want to, but there's nothing new under the sun. And they're going to go through it. And what they will have to fall back on will be the experiences that were handed down to them, plus the experience that they gain as they walk through this thing called life. And God will be God. And God has set things in such a way that we will mistakenly. I grew up hearing about the good old days. The good old days. Back in the good old days. Some of you who are in my age group, my generation, have heard about the good old days. But my dad brought some clarification to me about the good old days. This is what he said about the good old days. He said, I grew up in the good old days, and to those that grew up in the good old days, aren't you glad they're gone? Meaning this scripture right here. There'll be a time in your life when everything is rosy and it'll seem like it lasts forever. Even that period of time, you're in the eighth grade now, but you're in the ninth grade soon to come. Or you're in the fourth grade, even more so then. I'm in the fourth grade. I cannot wait to be in the fifth grade. When I turned 11 years old, within milliseconds, do you know what I was wanting to be? 12. 12. I'm not sure what the date is between April. Well, let's see. 14th, April 14th. May, June, July, August, September, October. I never waited to October the 14th to get here so that I could say I was 11 and a half years old. I always lied. I always lied seconds after I turned. Within hours, I was to the halfway point of the next year. Because that gave me a boost in front of the young ladies. You know, I want the beautiful young ladies. I wanted to be able to look a little, stand a little taller than just 11. 11 and a half, I'll take it. Right? Because to me, that I thought that meant something to them. Didn't really mean anything. It made me feel better about myself. But once 12 got here, guess what? I couldn't wait to be 13 because then I'm a teenager. I'm a teenager. Teenager. 14 was the same. 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Now that I'm 27, I can't pull that off at all. But you'll reach a time where you realize this thing is not as on self-control as I thought it was, and it's more on autopilot than I'm comfortable with, and it's moving on without me, and it's dragging me on, and I can't help but, and I wish I could stay back here, but this thing's pulling me, and now my perspective is changing, and I'm looking back now thinking, where did it all go? I'm saying things now that I heard people say that I just thought they were just old. I remember thinking 30 was old. I'm not even going to utter what I thought 40 or 50 was. But certainly their eyes had laid eyes on dinosaurs. And now I realize 50 just a minute. 50 just a minute. Anybody 60 that can say 50 is just a minute? You know why I look down everywhere I go now? Because I'm not 30. This time last year, during this week, as it turns April 1st, men, don't forget to come out next Sunday. Joe's going to give us some great encouragement, men's breakfast, first Sunday in April. But April 1st, last year, I fell through a hole in a beaver dam, and it messed me up. I still feel it. Even though I've had surgery on my knee, I still feel it in there. It's getting better. It's still getting better, but it is a slower thing than I'm comfortable with. So much so that I am very careful when I go down my steps. Last year, two times coming down my front porch. All you young people that come to my house on a Friday night, y'all just pop up that thing and down that thing and ride it like a rodeo bull. And it's nothing to you. Twice out of nowhere, my brain was walking around the corner to my car. My body was laying right there on the sidewalk. Something happened and something didn't communicate and I pow. And I just barely had enough time to keep from messing up my beautiful face that you love so much. Why? Because time goes on. And when my knee was trying to recover, when I thought Cheap John's not going to go get surgery, I'm going to walk this thing out. was on my way to a funeral. Y'all could probably bump into me at the gas station on my way to the funeral, and y'all wouldn't recognize me because I wear a suit for that. I say, if you want to see me in a suit, let's get married or let's get buried. Otherwise, probably not going to happen. Wrong church, wrong pastor. Sorry. Y'all lucky I ain't in camouflage all the time. I shaved. It took me 10 and a half months to shave this last time, but here we go. Going to the funeral. Thank you. More proof, more evidence right there. Going to the funeral, I go out the back door of my garage. I'm going down, and next thing I know, I'm on my face. And I have hit the corner of the lawnmower, and I broke something metal on the fall. Something metal broke between me and the ground, and my bones didn't break. It broke the metal. Am I that hard-headed? I must have hit it with my head. I must have hit it with my head. And I'm laying there, and I'm in such tremendous pain. My neighbor, who's way older than me, heard me yell. He comes running into my garage, and he's trying to help me get up. And then Christine, I don't know if she heard me, or she's just like, well now I got to go out there and help him because the neighbor's coming. I mean, what was it, honey? An honest confession. I'm just picking on. I got the best wife. So, and I'm going to need you more as the years roll on. Let me just tell y'all, we keep a cane and crutches in this back room back here. If anybody needs it, just I'll give it to you out of my collection. You can borrow it, but bring it back. We aging up in here. We aging. Oh, yeah. AARP's beating my door down. Would you like a senior coffee? Bring it. Anything you got free, baby, bring it to me. Might as well just laugh and roll with it, right? But the Bible says that this thing's going on. And we make foolish statements like, it's worse now than it's ever been. No, it's not. They said the same thing that you're saying now because they're going through it too. And you're going through what they went through. The key word in Ecclesiastes is vanity. The futile emptiness of trying to be happy apart from God. The preacher, Solomon, he was the wisest, the richest, and the most influential king in Israel's history. He looks at life under the sun, he calls it. And from the human perspective, declares it all to be empty. From the human perspective, power, popularity, prestige, pleasure, nothing can fill the God-shaped void in meaning and purpose in the man's life except God himself. But once seen from God's perspective, life takes on meaning and purpose. And that's why Solomon can say, eat, drink, rejoice, do good, live joyfully, fear God, keep his commandments. Skepticism and despair melt away when life is viewed as a daily gift from God. That's why I started talking to you guys a little bit about hopelessness a little while ago. Because there's places that the enemy will actually try to walk beside you quietly and peacefully while lying in your ear, trying to get you to that place where hopelessness can devour you and attack you. And it doesn't take very long for it to turn the corner in your life, and you're like, here's something I promise you. I would bet most of us over the age of 40 have pondered this question. I thought I would be further along than this by now. Right? There's proof that there's an enemy following you around. Logan said something to the young men last week. He said, all those people in your classrooms and school setting, you think their opinion means something to you? It doesn't mean anything. That's an experienced voice. And let all the men that are older weigh in real quick. Is he telling the truth? You will live the first 17 or 18 years of your life trying to impress people around you that in a matter of seconds, they will disappear out of your life and you will never see them again. Most of them, you will never lay eyes on them again. Unless you go to a high school reunion and want to torture yourself and realize how bad they look, and you look similar but didn't know it. I went to a reunion. I looked, did I look like them people? Where all these old people get invited? That's got to be their dad and their mom, because that ain't them. I'm telling you. Woo. So there's a song. It's called Only One Life. It's an oldie. It matters so little how much you may own, the places you've been or the people you've known. For it all comes to nothing when placed at his feet. It's nothing for Jesus, just memories to keep. You may take all the treasures from faraway land and take all the riches you can hold in your hand and take all the pleasures your money can buy. But what will you have when it's your time to die? Only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do his will. Anybody remember this song now? So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays when you recall you have but one life. The last verse says this. You probably will remember this among all of them. The days pass so swiftly, the months come and go. The years melt away like a new fallen snow. Spring turns to summer and summer to fall. Autumn brings winter and death comes to call. Only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do his will. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays when you recall you have but one life. That's reality right there. That's a reality song. That's, I don't know if who wrote that, got that from Solomon and his wisdom, but I can tell you there's wisdom in who wrote it. Because it leads you to a true place. It can't be all right here all the time. It's impossible. And if you need that to sustain you, you're going to be missing and deficient. Because it can't be sustained. It can't stay right there. At least not in your human aspect. But through spiritual eyes, it can go beyond that. To say that I will live for Jesus all of my days. All of these other things, they don't matter. It's only what's done for him that will last. And one day, death will come to call. But to the believer, that kind of talk I'm telling you, I may have said this a few weeks ago. I know I said it to a couple of you. But we had these are our altars. Bill did such a beautiful job making. But we had these take me back to my childhood. We had these wooden pews. So you think Pastor John's long-winded. Y'all at least getting to sit on about that much cushion. My dad would keep him there in them hard pews. Underneath those church pews, and everybody that looked so good, and all the women had their hair growing out long, no jewelry, long dresses, and we were all perfect in the sight of God. We didn't talk about nobody or nothing. You wouldn't catch me here, unless I was on vacation. But it didn't count then, because God gave me a pass. Oh my goodness, I could tell y'all one of the funniest stories. Okay, I will. Oh no, I won't. I told it before. I won't do it. I'll tell you this. Underneath those beautiful pews, those wooden oak pews, and all the good people sitting on them, somebody in that church knew how to chew some gum. And colorful gum. So I might could only have my Bible in black cover, but they had chewing gum in red, green, gold, blue, whatever, all underneath the church pews. And my dad would start preaching about hell and eternity. I knew this, it's time for little John to go to sleep. I'm not listening to that. I can't hear about eternity now. I can't hear that mom's going to die one day and dad's going to die one day and I'm going to die one day. What are you kidding me? Who wants to hear that? I'll go underneath the church pew. Wonder what all this gum is doing underneath there. Too hard. Getting soft. Oh, yeah, last week. So I start making. No, I don't worry. Hey, even I got my limits, okay? I might have offered it to somebody. But I did smell it. And I did try to make something out of it. I mean, Dad's preaching about hell. I got to entertain myself somehow. I don't have time to hear this. But see, there's nothing new under the sun. And I can preach about it or not, but it won't affect the fact that it's coming one day. Why? Because God requires an account of the past. And he requires it to do the same thing it's been doing, because something the way he set it in order will cause men to either accept him or reject him. Two choices. Everyone that ever breathes, you'll have an opportunity to accept him or reject him. So this life that we live, wisest man in the world came to this conclusion. It's all vanity without God. But with God, it's worth living. And I want to live it until I die. And when I die, I do want y'all to cry a little bit. But I don't know when that time will be. And I don't know when that time will be for you. Why don't we live our lives in such a way that reflect a knowledge inside of us that this could be the last day? This precious lady, Teresa, was here 2 weeks ago, but a couple weeks before that, she ran into my wife and my mother-in-law at a breakfast diner. And 2 weeks later, she was here. And we've known Megan since good night. She's tall, long, blonde, long-haired, blonde-headed, beautiful young lady. Any guy would be so happy to have her at his right-hand side. She called last night. She's in a mess. talked to my wife and told her all that was going on. And so suddenly, if there's a decision you need to make it now. I believe everybody in this room. I don't believe anybody needs an altar call, but you might need a place where you say, God, I need to step it up. I need to start living like today could be my last. I need to treat my wife like she might not ever wake up beside me again. I need to treat my son and my daughter with greater care and more consideration of what they're going through that looks so big. Guess what? It's that big because it's that big to them. I might need to tell my son-in-law how proud I am of him. I might need to tell my mother-in-law how much she means to me. We can all, can't we? Because this is not a downer Sunday. This is His Word. Yeah, there's some things we got to realize. This is a foreshadowing. This is a foretaste. But when that day comes, I don't want any questions. I don't want anybody to have to preach me into heaven. I don't want anybody to have to say, well, that one time I saw him pray, I saw him cry at church. I will never take hope from anybody. I will always give hope. Listen, as a pastor, I lived in a hard section of town where people hated each other daily. I've had to go to funerals for murder and preach them. I've had to be right there when tragedy struck instantly and preach them, because you know how I would want one of my avenues to win people is that I'll do the funeral. I don't know them. Nobody wants to touch. There was a funeral that was on the news. I mean, there was somebody that died on the news in a murder. Somebody called me and said they need somebody to do their funeral. I said, tell them I'll do it. Because one person died, but everybody else is still alive. Somebody needs to come and preach Jesus to somebody. And when somebody is that, all of a sudden everything inside of them is open to change. For some people, change is anything different than what I've been going through. Anything different. What an incredible opportunity to preach Jesus, right?
Yes.
So all I'm saying is that this is not meant to be a down day. This is meant to be a day of encouragement and a little bit of self-examination. However many days I've got, God, I'm going to serve all of them for you.
Yes.
No questions asked.
Yes.
And I promise you, if you take that, your home life will be better. Your job life will be better. Your neighbor will be better. At least your ability to navigate is going to be a whole lot better when you get your eyes up here. Amen?
Amen.
Father, thank you for your word. We draw heavily on the wisdom of Solomon, and I certainly don't have that kind of wisdom, so I'm going to pay attention to somebody that had it. I want to pattern my life after people that listened to you and people that considered it all and realized there's nothing greater than to live for you. I set that as my heart's desire, as the goal of my very existence, to bring glory to you, Lord. We all have this life, and it is a gift from you.
Jesus.
Help us to live it.
Jesus.
in such a way that we'll present it back to you one day and say, here it is, Lord. Thank you for it. And it will have done things that we had no idea. We will have touched people we had no idea. We don't need to know. But God, help us not to live a life that keeps us covered up in shame. Keeps us covered up in what ifs of wish I would have done this. God, today's the day to make changes. Help us to do it, God. As we follow you, that's all it is. As we follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand and let's sing this together?